Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Robe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Robe, Ian Safar here with you on this Monday morning. Corey Curtis from News 2 will be with us at 8 o'clock. We are taking your thoughts in the meantime, 615-737-1025. Joe, the NFL owners will be voting on the playoff reseeding proposal that the Lions put through this past offseason. They're also going to be voting on the tush push ban at the May meeting as well, but we'll get to that a little bit later. Let's focus in on the playoff reseeding proposal. So for those who either have missed it or forgot it, basically what the Lions have thrown out there is to reseed the playoffs, and that, let's say, for instance, it played out in the NFC like it did last year, where you had, you know, basically the Lions and Vikings down to that last week at 14 wins, and the winner was going to get the division in the top spot, and the loser was going to be a wild card and have to start the playoffs on the road. The Lions don't want any part of that, and the proposal they've thrown out there is that you're just seeding it by the record. And, yeah, if you win your division, you're still getting in the playoffs, but you're not guaranteed a home game just because you win your division. You're seeding it by the record, and you're kind of going from there. So an 11-6 team that finishes third in their division theoretically could have a home game ahead of a team that finishes 9-8 and wins their division. So, Joe, that's going to be voted on by the owners. What do you make of that? What's the likelihood of that getting through? And do you like this proposal that the Lions have thrown out there?
I feel like I've totally been a flip-flopper on this. I don't even remember. I feel like last year when we were in the middle of this, I said I think they need to do this. And right now, I don't know. I think I'd vote no on it. I just feel like the division, you know, the way they have the divisions, you have, obviously, you set it up, you know, it's obviously four teams per division. You set it up that everybody plays a division rival at the end of the year. They've done a lot to, like, to lean in on these, you know, these rivalry franchises. And I just feel like there should be a reward for winning your division. It's, you know, some years and look, many years with, like, the AFC South, it's not the greatest division. But I still feel like there should be a reward. And here's a proposal that no one would ever propose, and we can laugh at it. But, like, what if there's like a trigger in place where it's like, if there's a 4-game difference between, like, a second place team and a division winner, then you can trigger this, and it's like, okay, it's ridiculous to have, like, an 8-9 team hosting a 13-4 team, you know. I mean, that'll never happen. You have to go one way or the other. But it's just in those extreme cases that I really like the idea. For the most part, I think I would vote no.
I love it. I do. Like, I think that this is awesome. And again, like, people will say, what's the reward for winning your division? Well, the reward for winning your division is getting in the playoffs, right? I mean, there have been times where teams that have won their division and frankly shouldn't have been in the playoffs. They're like, by the numbers, they've won their division. I think back to that Seattle team, whenever that was, 10, 12 years ago, that won. Now, they end up winning a playoff game, so there is that you have to go to. But by the numbers, like, they were not one of the top six teams at that time. And now the playoffs have expanded to 7, obviously. But, like, I think your reward is getting in the playoffs. I don't think that just because your division is not as strong as maybe another division and you win it, that means that you automatically should get a home game over someone else. Like, frankly, like, it's pretty stupid that Minnesota had to start this year on the playoffs in the road. Like, would that have changed the outcome? I have no idea. Darnold was pretty bad the last 2 weeks, so maybe it doesn't change the outcome. But frankly, like, I think it's pretty dumb that Minnesota had to start on the road after winning 14 games in the regular season.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe you've talked me back into it. This is where I am on this. And I'm very interested to know where owners are, because you asked me what's the likelihood of it passing. I don't know. And I'm not sure the timing either. in terms of, I guess I'd like to know what Charles, what he thinks from talking to people around the league. Look, obviously to me, the teams in the two South divisions probably wouldn't like this. And I mean, everything's cyclical, 'cause, so it's not like you can't have, I mean, that wasn't that long ago. Tampa Bay was a great team. 2 years ago, Houston had a great record, but those are I feel like those divisions often end up, producing your mediocre record, champion. That NFC East did not that long ago too. Now that's a way better division now, but that went through a real down period too, with all the teams kind of struggling. But I'm very interested to see how they look at this. Comparing it to other pro leagues playoffs. Help me out here. So obviously the NBA is just straight seeding,
Right.
and it's very simple. Hockey
It's
is.
by division. So if you win your division, you're getting, one of those two top seeds in your
Yeah,
conference.
and you're getting one of the wild cards, and we have our own issues with that
Right.
instead of just straight seeding the. Don't like the 1 year of the college football playoff 12 team. Don't like it. Don't like the way they did the seeding. And I think they're going to go to straight seeding. And then baseball. Baseball, you have the same idea, don't you? In baseball, you have the division. Yeah, I think the straight seeding probably wins the day. So I've already flip-flopped within one segment.
615-737-1025. Our phone number, 615-737-1025. What do you make of the proposal that the NFL owners will be voting on to reseed the playoffs? We'll take more of your thoughts on that coming up next. Also got some other NFL thoughts to get to as well. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. This week's Nashville's best deal is Beach Bend Park and Splash Lagoon with a buy one, get one free admission. Beach Bend Park and Splash Lagoon, where parking, tubes, and sunscreen are always free. Get this great deal now at thegamenashville.com/deals while supplies last. Robbie and Rex Rowe, 1025-1063, the game. We'll have Corey Curtis from News 2 coming up at 8 o'clock here on the program. Throwing the idea out there that the Lions have put that the NFL owners will vote on of reseeding the playoffs and just going by record. NFL division winners still get in, but you're not guaranteed a home game there. Derek from Nolensville says, what if it's the other way around and the division is really good slash deep, and that's why the division winner's record is bad? Then another division winner's record is really good because they play in the division with mostly bad teams that they get to play twice. This from Derek from Nolensville on the text line. Joe, your thoughts?
Yeah, I hear what he's saying. I mean, look, whatever we just saw last year, the current system did it was a big enough disparity and just ridiculous that look, the Lions and the Vikings in the regular season were two of the three best teams in the conference, and they're in the same division. It's going to happen again. But yeah, if you go to this system and you flip it around, there's going to be times, when it's the same sort of idea. And I think the scenario he laid out there where a division winner could be worthy, but by circumstance still get screwed out of a home game. So it's going to be really interesting to me.
Yep.
I think I'm back off. Yeah, I say no. I say no. Sorry.
Rex Road's going all over the place with this vote. All right, Joe, so you brought this up briefly on the show last week with Charles, but let's bring it up again. So Matt Barrows of The Athletic put this out there, calling it the 18-16 compromise, with the NFL, we think, inevitably, eventually getting to 18 games. So for those who have no idea what we're talking about, kind of quickly summarize the 18-16 plan that Matt Barrows has put out there into whether or not that's going to be something the NFL could actually consider moving forward.
Yeah. Well, we didn't talk about, I think the only way it can work, and I heard DVD talking about this when Willie wasn't, accurately calling me a loudmouth idiot. They were very down on it. D-Mace was very down on it, but I think it's very simple. And I think this is exactly what I think this would work totally fine, because people get hurt. You already have injuries. You have to be strategic. I think the strategy of this would be fascinating. But what you have to do is quarterbacks, kicker, punter, long snapper, those positions are exempt. And I know that the quarterback isn't the star player for every single team, but when it comes to like fans and like, oh my God, we got tickets for my kid in his ninth birthday, and this is the game that, you know, the Titans are sitting Cam Ward. Are you kidding me? Well, you exempt quarterbacks from it. And so there, you know, those four those specialists and quarterbacks play every game. Everybody else has to miss two. And again, you go through a NFL season, first of all, you're going to have a lot of players who do anyway. And sure, there's the star receiver, the star running back, the star linebacker. I mean, there are going to be some, you know, some games with players missing by this rule, and I'm sure some fans will gripe about it. But I just think that circumstance already bring it to that a lot. I think the strategy element of it is fascinating. And look, it's just – I'm sorry, but it's just insane to me. I mean, I shouldn't be insane because these owners are the greediest bunch of mother farters in the world, okay? But, like, you already have the greatest game by far in the country. You are printing money. The asset value of all your franchises are skyrocketing, and you have to get to 18 games. Everybody knew 17 was just the next step. They were never going to stay 17 forever, right? It's weird. 9 home games 1 year and 8 the next. It was never going to be a long-term thing. So in this time of player safety, going to 18 games, it really is insane. But it's happening. So I think this is, to me, if I'm an owner, I don't love this, but if I know the quarterback doesn't have to do this, then I feel a lot better about it. And look, single season records, the NFL, we go back to like a 16, obviously not with quarterbacks, but quarterback records are so like blown out now anyway compared to the old days, right? But single season records, you know, could be compared. I just think it makes sense. And I just, look, like these players are, totally, like the NFLPA is putting all this stuff out about how they're anti. Well, then you can't let it get to the 17th game. You know, you're going to buckle, you're going to lose, you're going to get more revenue for it. But I think this plan would at least, you know, at least remind everyone that yes, player safety actually does matter to some people.
I think this is so dumb. I really do. I just think I appreciate like the thought process behind it and like trying to come up with a creative solution, but. Like, this feels like almost like some game show. Like, are we playing football or we're not playing football? Like, I don't love the idea of, hey, we're playing 18 games. The quarterback, the kicker, the long snapper are exempt, but everybody else has to sit out at least 2 games, and you can strategize when that's going to be. So, like, that, I mean, it would be interesting from a strategy standpoint of, like, are you sitting your entire offensive line at the same time for a couple of games, or are you, like, breaking it down throughout the season? Like, because to me, if you're, like, you're – you know, it brings up, I think in this piece, talks about sitting the offensive line. Yeah, well, I'm not playing my quarterback if I'm sitting the offensive line. I can tell you that. The quarterback is not going to be playing if I'm sitting the offensive line. So there's a lot that I think is kind of dumb about this, but I do appreciate the thought of kind of the creative mind that has put this. I have not thought about this at all prior to this article coming out here. I do think we're getting to 18 games. And look, a lot of this is the players' fault, right? Like, they keep giving in on stuff, and they've been so strong in saying that they don't want an 18th game, they don't want an 18th game, and they said that about the 17th game, and then, Joe, they immediately gave in on the 17th game because the money was coming in. So, like, the players have kind of created this for themselves when it comes to the negotiations.
Yeah, look, I don't disagree. I mean, but, like, when it comes down to it, they're just – right now, they're not winning any of these big arguments.
No.
So I just have a problem with the whole idea. I mean, like, do these people I as an NFL fan, this is who people know, or nobody ever listens to. And look, a lot of the reaction to the text line is along your line. Someone said it's a barf throw up, or the barf throw up. So is respectfully, Chad says dog throw up. Kevin says we're getting close to golden at bat. I get it. So, fans would not like this. But also, as an NFL fan, I like 16 games. I understand the whole idea, like, why you complain about more football, but, like, I think you are starting to get to diminishing returns possibility here. It's already such an incredible high rate of injury in this league. I like 16 games. I like comparing the stats on 16 games. I like the calendar. Like, I don't want more. I think it's ridiculous. And it still starts with the greed of all these owners. And you know, it's like, just because like the preseason games have become meaningless now, because like no coaches are going to play anybody. And so if we have to cut that inventory, well, Ben, we have to add it to the, you know, to the actual games. I just think it's insanity when in the last 20 years, we've learned what we've learned about head injuries. But I mean, I get your take on this, because I think most people would feel that way, that it's just stupid. But I would never sit my whole offense. I'd be like, okay, left guard this week, we sneak this guy, and then over here. I mean, the week where if you have a great left tackle, that's where it's like, ooh, boy.
Yeah, I know.
You know, that, you know. But like, yeah, I do kind of, like, I'm fascinated by the weekly sort of like, and then when do you have to declare who you're sitting? I don't know. I think it's kind of fun. It's just like relegation. Like, it'll never happen, but I think it'd be awesome if we had relegation.
Well, beyond like the fan part of this and like their reaction to it, here's why I don't think this will ever happen. And this is brought up in the article, and I think it's a good point. The TV networks want no part of this. Like, they want no part of, oh, you guys are just sitting players out? I mean, maybe you could mitigate that a little bit with the quarterbacks not being a part of it. But if I'm a TV network, so I'm like, no, I really like the idea of, you know, having Justin Jefferson out there and available to play in the games that I'm paying to broadcast. So, thanks. Let's put him out there. And also, like, if you're the players, right? Like, if you're looking for bigger contracts, right? I mean, yes, you can get hurt in an 18-game schedule. You can also put up massive numbers in an 18-game schedule that may end up getting you paid more. So those are two reasons why I don't think this will actually happen.
I don't either. But it was a nice thought.
It was. It was very creative. Like, I kind of dig the creativity here. I'm looking through the comments on the article. There are some people that actually like it.
Do they? Oh, yeah. Good. Okay. Well, yeah, it's people on my side. Just the quarterback, you know. But you're right, like a Justin Jefferson. You know, when do you do that? You do that for like if you play a crappy team and you have like a noon game on CBS. You know,
you're a Titans fan. You're like, God, the Titans haven't played a good receiver all year. What's going on out there? Nobody's playing their receivers against the Titans.
If you're a Titans fan, it's like, we might get some breaks here. Play some diminished teams. Have a better record. See? I mean, you know, the crappy teams in the league could have a little more hope.
615-737-1025. Joseph, that's going to do it for you today on the program. We wish you luck in your pursuit to get some antibiotics in you and take care of this little tick problem we got.
Thanks. I'll report back tomorrow from Broadway.
Let's see how it goes. 615-737-1025. Ian and I got you covered the rest of the show. We got Corey Curtis from News 2 coming up at 8 o'clock. We'll continue to take some of your reaction to the 18-16 plan that Rex Rhodes has thrown out there, plus get into the Final Four of the NHL and the NBA as well. All that coming up, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Robbie Stanley alongside Ian Safar. Rex Road out the rest of the program.
Yeah, he is.
Dealing with a tick bite, hoping that it's not Lyme disease. In all seriousness, we do wish Joe the best as he goes to the urgent care, try to get this figured out. Lyme disease does not sound fun, so we're hoping that this is just a slight overreaction on the part of Joe Rexroad, Ian.
Let's hope so. And the travel situation this week is not making anything easier for him.
It is not.
He is headed to New York for, I believe it's the athletic kind of conference or something like that.
Yeah.
For his other gig. And the combination of that and the weekend and the flights and the real IDs, it's setting up for quite, and some graduations, I think, thrown in there.
It could be.
I think it's quite the doozy set up for old Rex Road this week.
It could be quite a story that we get tomorrow morning at 6 a.m.
Excellent content for the program. It might be. Yeah.
Yep. We'll take your best wishes, your well wishes for Rex Road on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a lot of different thoughts on ticks today on the text line. That is one thing that I can confirm.
It is tick season. There's no doubt about that. And so, you know, head on a swivel, as our friend Terry Crisp likes to say.
Yep, no doubt about that. So, Ian, we were just talking about this 18-16 plan that was thrown out there by the Athletic. The majority of the text line is like, yeah, thanks, but no thanks when it comes to this. I kind of hate it. I appreciate the creativity of thought.
In theory, I suppose it works, but if you try and play it out, it doesn't really hold water very well.
Well, one thing that's also interesting, and we had somebody on the YouTube chat bring this up. You know, I brought up the TV part of this. Like, if you're the TV networks, I want no part of paying for this product. And then
so-and-so's out.
By the way, your game is going to be the game that Justin Jefferson doesn't play or Miles Garrett doesn't play or whoever it is.
Yep, that won't go well.
I don't think that'll go over very well, and that's ultimately why this is probably not going to happen. But also, like, somebody on YouTube pointed out, like, what about the fantasy football part of this? So, like, you draft this guy in fantasy football.
Yeah,
if you and all of a sudden it's like, well, you can't play. Or you take an over-under on somebody before the season. It's like, well, he's not playing in this game. So, you know, there's a lot that's complicated to it.
Yeah.
Which is why I do not think that this will happen. So
I don't think so.
Very rarely do we have a topic where people are, like, you know, universally opposed to something. Pretty universal.
This is
on the text line. It's
up there. This one's up there.
It's up there. Ian, we brought it up earlier. The Final Four in the NHL and the NBA is set. You've got Dallas and Edmonton on the hockey side of things in the Western Conference.
Should be a good one.
Got Florida and Carolina on the Eastern side of things.
We'll see about that.
For the NHL. You know, let's start there because Florida has made it to the Cup Final 2 years in a row. They won last year.
Looking good.
They're on a heck of a run right now. Carolina. I love their coach in Rod Brind'Amour. Like, he's done obviously a great job. They're kind of boring.
Can't get over the hump either.
Yeah, and they can't get over the hump. And I don't think they're going to win this series, but we'll see. They're kind of boring a little bit. Like, they
lack they a suppress little star
you. They don't
power.
Have like star power. It's not like you look at all the rest of these teams, and they don't really have those guys. Now, they've got a lot of really good players, and that's why they've been as successful as they've been. They're a really good defensive team. They suppress shots really well. But, like, you know, Aho is a great player, but, you know, they don't have McDavid. They don't have Rantanen.
They had Rantanen, and they ended up not wanting to keep him, which is strange, interesting strategy there. If they just went for the whole not keep the star, bring in some younger players, maybe the owner's cheap. I don't know.
Could be, and it would be interesting, too. Like, it still could be Dallas, Carolina in the final, and you'd have Rantanen going up against another former team at that point. But I'm looking at it. Here's my original thought on it. Edmonton, I think at some point has to break through. But I don't think it's going to be this year. Like, I think Rantanen takes Dallas over the top. I think it's going to be Dallas and Florida in the Cup Final. And frankly, I would sign up for that. I think that would be awesome.
That would be good.
That is what I'm pulling for, is Dallas and Florida in the Cup Final.
Florida is playing just an outstanding team game right now. And I don't know, you know, how much they look like this in the regular season. I didn't watch a whole lot of Eastern Conference hockey this year during the regular season, but in the playoffs, they still look like they're, you know, they have that playoff chemistry. They're working as a whole five-man unit. You have Seth Jones kind of stepping up, looking almost like a number one defenseman. Bobrovsky continues his very good play in the playoffs. So they are rolling right now. And the Brad Marchand deal seems to be working out great.
Yeah, no, it's been fun to watch. And again, we talked about it to start the show. Like, just anytime you watch Toronto collapse, it's very entertaining. Like, that place goes from 0 to 60 unbelievably quickly. On the NBA side of things, a different Final Four this year. You've got Oklahoma City and Minnesota in the West, and then the Pacers. And is it fair to call them your beloved New York Knicks? That's what we're going to call them. Ian's beloved New York Knicks.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. They used to very much be my beloved Knicks, but, you know, as the years go, I've been here since 97 now in Middle Tennessee. So as the years go on and you lose kind of, you know, I wouldn't say they're as beloved as they were, but I used to love me some Knicks back in the day, yeah.
And we're going to have Kuharski in later this week, who I'm sure now is all in on the Knicks that they've made it to the Eastern Conference Final. So you two can join forces.
Okay.
And get after
it this
week
with the Knicks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Looking forward to that. Although, like, I will say, it is kind of nice in the NBA to have some new blood in there. Like, I'm sure if you gave, like, the NBA offices some truth serum, they're probably not overly thrilled that it's Oklahoma City, Minnesota, Indiana.
Yeah.
That have ended up here. Now, the Knicks, I'm sure they're really excited about, right?
So
the Knicks getting to this point, they're thrilled about. But, like, I think there's a very good chance that it could end up being Oklahoma City and Indiana in the final. And we'll see. We'll see if the Knicks can can beat Indiana. But
I mean, the series in the 90s between those two were usually pretty awesome. Entertaining. Yeah. It was a different brand.
Right.
You know, it was physical. You had the Davis brothers and like Reggie Miller and all that kind of stuff. And they were physical, you know, much more of a big man game. But, I mean, between Halliburton, I don't know. I kind of think the Pacers might win. But
yeah. Like it's been
the way they've been playing. I don't know if the Knicks will have enough scoring power. You know, some of them guys have been playing decent at home, but I don't know. I would probably lean the Pacers as a favorite early on if I just had to guess. But
I think Oklahoma City is the team to beat. The whole thing.
I mean, Denver got out to a good start yesterday, but OKC turned it on, and all of a sudden I turned it on. It was like I saw Denver was winning first quarter pretty well. I was like, okay, this is looking good for my pick in weekend winners. Then all of a sudden I turned it back on, and OKC was up by like 20. I was like, what happened?
Yeah, man, they're good. And the thing is, they're really young, and they're going to be good for a while, that Oklahoma City team. It's
so they
fun.
Might be – yeah, I haven't watched a whole lot of them during the regular season, but they look like they could be pretty good. So.
Terry on the text line says, it's always fun to watch the Leafs collapse like they do when they flood Broadway when they play the Preds. Broadway is undefeated against Leafs fans. You know, usually a lot of Leafs fans show up when they come here for their one visit per year. So we'll see.
Yeah, Marner did not look happy on the on the ice. He was yelling at the – yeah, I think he used a curse word there.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe a fart word.
Yeah.
But yeah, he was, come on guys, wake up. It did not work.
And I think the Mitch Marner era in Toronto is now over with him being gone in free agency. I think he's going to get paid a ton of money this offseason. Frankly, I think Chicago would probably be a pretty good spot for him. We'll see if they end up going like big game hunting, but they need somebody that
they
can
need
play
someone. Yeah.
With Bedard. So we'll see if they end up going that route. Predators fans, I don't think that they're going to get involved in the Mitch Marner sweepstakes, nor do I think they should get involved in the Mitch Marner sweepstakes. But interesting stuff last night in the playoffs, the Final Four set in both the NHL and the NBA. We'll have the Rob Rant coming up next. Corey Curtis from News 2 will be with us coming up at 8 o'clock. All that ahead. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game.
Make me angry.
Sometimes you have to tell someone to pound sand.
You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
This is the Rob Rant.
Now
on Robbie and Rex Road.
I think that would revolutionize our show if we went mullet skullet.
Get two venti of the pipe with two shots in them. So black eye in both. That's what I come in with. That's how I start the day. So
Dan Campbell the other day with a cup of coffee. And he's just a he's such a great character, but you know he's like I go to Starbucks, I go to Starbucks, I get a venti, get grab the pike. You know, so I'm doing that.
Excuse me. Uh-oh. Hope that's not the Lyme disease.
That is the rod I have up my tush.
Gout is mental. No, it is not mental.
We're going to get up, and on the way up, we're going to bite a kneecap off.
It is that time of the day. Time for the Rob Rant here on Robbie and Rex Road. You can check it out every morning here on the show, either the Rex Rant or the Rob Rant. Pretty soon we're going to Ian Madden up start ranting as well.
Yeah, I'll have to come up with something, yeah.
See if we can do that. We'll have Corey Curtis with us at 8 o'clock here on the program. So, Ian, there's a couple things related to the Brock Purdy contract over the weekend. And some of the reaction to it that kind of bothered me. So, if you missed it, Brock Purdy signed a five-year, $265 million contract extension with San Francisco over the weekend. Not a huge surprise. Like, they had been working and trying to hammer out this contract for a while. It felt like a matter of time before it gets done. And frankly, like, I looked at it and I said, yeah, okay, that makes about sense. You know, if you break it down, I think he's got $181 million in guarantees. And he comes in, I think it's seventh at the position when you just break it down by annual average value.
Like 53, I think I
saw. $53 million per year. So that's behind Dak, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, Jordan Love, Trevor Lawrence, and Tua. So he's coming in at seventh there. If you break it down by the $180 million in guarantees, he's eighth, and fully guaranteed at signing, this according to CBS Sports, he would rank 12th. So he's kind of right there in that, you know, 8 to 12 range. And frankly, like, that's about where I thought he would come in when his contract is up at that point. And nobody's going to confuse Brock Purdy for Patrick Mahomes out there. But it's the same thing we talked about last season, right? Like, Jordan Love signed his deal, And he was like, wow, he's been a starting quarterback for 1 year, and he got $55 million per year. Trevor Lawrence coming in at $55 million a year. Tua signing the big deal. Like, that's just what it is right now with quarterbacks when their deals come up. So I saw some people over the weekend that were like, oh, my goodness. Like, that's so much money for Brock Purdy. And I'm like, I don't know what you guys expected. Like, this is exactly what it is right now for starting quarterbacks coming in. Now, is Brock Purdy going to end up being worth that? Like, is he going to go win a Super Bowl with San Francisco? I would guess probably not, because that team's getting older and they've had a really talented roster and have yet to be able to break through and actually win the Super Bowl, which kind of leads me to my second point. Like, I saw a lot of this over the weekend, and I get it. And let me just say for the record that I think Kyle Shanahan's a really good coach. Like, Kyle Shanahan is certainly in my top 10, probably top 7 of NFL head coaches in the league.
Seems to have that offensive system down pretty good.
But the way that people talk about him sometime, I'm like, don't you, like, actually have to win a championship at some point to be talked about this way? Because you could make the argument, while I agree with everyone that says he's a great coach, and you're right, like, the offensive system that he puts in place, they've been able to do a lot with it. But you can also make the argument that he has had probably the most talented roster in the league
up there
over the course of the last 5 years, depending on which year you want to pick. But, like, as a whole, over the last 5-6 years, they've had probably, throughout the totality of that, the most talented roster.
I got some good players
in the league, and they haven't won the Super Bowl. So I know they've been to two, and they've lost them to Mahomes. So there's no shame in losing a Super Bowl to Patrick Mahomes. But, like, you know, I know the knock on Andy Reid. Andy Reid did a whole lot of winning before he won the Super Bowl. And there was that, well, Andy Reid can't get it done in the big games. Andy Reid can't win the big one. And then he gets to Kansas City and he does it. And I just feel like I don't really hear that a lot with Kyle Shanahan. It's always like, well, Kyle Shanahan's a super genius. And Kyle Shanahan is like what every head coach in the NFL wants to be. And again, I think he's a good coach. But I think some people act like Shanahan has won 4 Super Bowls at this point, and he's not yet. So I just heard a bunch of this over the weekend, like, oh, Kyle Shanahan can, like, walk on water out there. And I'm like, okay, well, you know, Kyle Shanahan has also been the offensive coordinator of the biggest blown Super Bowl in history.
He probably played a role in that at some point, too.
At some point, he's probably got to prove that he can step up and get it done when it matters the most. So, again, would I take Kyle Shanahan as head coach of the Titans right now? Yeah, I would. Absolutely. But some of the conversation with him, I think, gets a little bit overblown for somebody who has not actually won a championship
yet. I think that's fair. I mean, all these other guys we talk about have at least won, you know, a championship, and to be in that tier. We almost put Shanahan in that tier of, yeah, McVay and Reed and those kind of guys, even though they have actually proven more, probably with more players, and have won more. So I don't know. That's a good point. I don't know. Maybe it is because of the whole father-son thing.
Yeah.
And just because of his name is Shanahan and his dad. And so maybe it has a little extra allure to that.
Well, don't get me wrong. He's a good coach. Like, I'm not trying to sit here and act like Kyle Shanahan's not a good coach, because he clearly is. But I just think the way that people talk about him sometimes, like, they don't talk about John Harbaugh that way. And John Harbaugh has won a Super Bowl, right? Yeah. And John Harbaugh's teams are
consistently
excellent. Like, somebody on the text line brought up Mike Tomlin. Like, Mike Tomlin, it's not gone very well for Pittsburgh recently in terms of, like, playoff success. Mike Tomlin has won a Super Bowl, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and so there's...
And he makes the playoffs pretty much every year.
Right.
Shanahan did not last year. They did not have a good season.
And that's it. And I heard them talking about that part of it this morning on Unsportsmanlike. Like, Shanahan is a really good coach, and obviously, you know, his offensive scheme that he puts together, like, they run some stuff there that's really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, they've also had some years where they've been bad, and some of it's injury-related. I get that, and they've never really had, you know, they drafted Trey Lance to be that quarterback. You know, they got to a Super Bowl with Jimmy Garoppolo.
That was a terrible decision,
right?
The Lance thing.
Yeah, like, the Lance thing was bad, and they got bailed out of that by finding Purdy where they found him, right?
Yep.
Otherwise, they'd be up a creek right now as it relates to the quarterback part of this. I sometimes the way that people talk about Kyle Shanahan, you would think that he's won 3 Super Bowls at this point.
And I do wonder how much say he has in the personnel. You know, it sounds like he has final say from stuff that I've heard reported on. I believe John McClain might have said that Shanahan has final say over there in 49ers. So if he has final say, how much is he, you know, are his imprints on the roster? And what does that mean for the power there and how that whole dynamic has gone? You know, how much is he going to have control over the roster and everything? And if he's not going to win a Super Bowl, you know, what's the deal with that?
Well, and we're going to see now because now I think, you know, they've lost Debo. So Debo's gone to Washington.
Their window is shrinking and closing quickly.
I agree. Now, you look at their schedule. I think by the numbers, they've got the easiest schedule in the NFL this year. Now, again, I mean, it's one thing to have that on paper. We'll see how it goes heading into the actual season. But San Francisco has the easiest schedule by the numbers in the league this year. But, like, Christian McCaffrey's a year older. George Kittle's a year older. Brandon Ayuk's coming off a torn ACL. Like
the tackle, Trent Williams.
Yeah, like he's approaching 40. Like, you know, it does feel like
their window has not going to be able to go forever.
Been missed a little bit. So we'll see. You know, who knows? Maybe this will be the year that San Francisco breaks through and
it could be.
Wins the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I kind of have my doubts.
That will prove them right about the contract, I suppose.
615. Yep. 615-737-1025. Our phone number, 615-737-1025. Corey Curtis from News 2 will be with us coming up next. We'll get his thoughts on all things Tennessee Titans. This is Robbie and Rex Row, 1025-1063, The Game.